adopted by students in Maryland schools to motivate them to learn how to read. Well, if chanting this mantra is all it takes to learn how to read or teach our students, then our time here will be quite short and your job at school will be quite easy. We know, though, that we have a higher goal, a richer vision for our students. We desire for them to become wise, able to discern various worldviews, recognize false philosophies, become godly leaders who will teach future generations, and therefore we must teach them to love words, to read words, to love God's word, to read God's word. James Sire, in his book, How to Read Slowly, wrote, "Learning to read well is a step towards loving God with your mind. It's a leap towards thinking God's thoughts after Him." I hope that you'll walk away today from this workshop understanding the essential foundations, tools, and methods of a systematic grammar reading program, that you'll leave with some resources you can use in your schools, and that you'll be motivated to teach your students to read with their minds. Teaching of reading is not something new. For centuries, people read very well before Horace Mann in 1840, I call him Horrible Mann, created that whole language approach to reading. But actually, I found out, it was his wife who published one of those early readers with the lines, "Frank had a dog, his name was Spot." So you see, it was really his wife with those ideas. It was her fault. But Horace Mann voiced a very strong opinion about phonics, reading, and spelling rules. He wrote, "It is upon this emptiness, blankness, silence, and death that we compel children to fasten their eyes, the odor and fungiousness of the spelling book paper. The soporific effluvium seems to emanate from the page, steeping all their faculties in lethargy." Well, consider this, Mr. Mann, that children were excellent readers as a result of all this lethargy before that look-say method was introduced. They became excellent readers because they were taught a system. They were taught foundations to learn to read. And we need to teach a system, and we need to teach these foundations in order to prepare our grammar students to enter into that dialectic when they will be comparing, contrasting, analyzing, and debating what they read. Well, what is this system, and what are the foundations? There are 10 of them. You will find them on your page of the handout. You will also find a more detailed explanation of each of these foundations in your packet, but I will walk you through them briefly. The first foundation is letter recognition and application. These are kindergarten skills. They're identifying and writing the letters and identifying their sounds. The second foundation is phonics, taught in kindergarten through second grade. And this is the identification and demonstration of the sounds of vowels, consonant blends, digraphs, diphthongs, and so forth. Third is structural analysis. This enables children to decode unfamiliar words by using units larger than single graphemes. For example, prefixes, suffixes, contractions, compound words. The fourth foundation, capitalization and punctuation. The fifth, vocabulary skills, beginning in kindergarten in grade one. So they will learn rule breakers or those sight words. They will review definitions, learn synonyms, antonyms, homonyms. The sixth, structural elements and parts of speech. It's the identification and usage of phrases, types of sentences, paragraphs, parts of speech, formation of essays. Seventh, comprehension. We will talk more about that in detail in a little while. Eighth, oral reading, You will have an example of that sheet we'll talk about later on. You have an oral reading evaluation sheet in your packet. 9 literary types and forms. Types would include fiction, poetry, ballads, myths, and forms would include alliteration, metaphor, personification, hyperbole. And the last foundation, number 10, study skills. Alphabetizing, using the dictionary, summarizing, skimming, and scanning. Now, you might sit down this summer, memorize all 10 of these foundations, but still not know, what should I teach at my particular grade level? What do I do with this? You might not know what study skills are taught in grade 4 or grade 6. What parts of speech are taught in grade 2? What did last year's teacher teach, and what will next year's teacher teach? You must know the answers to these questions, or you're going to be teaching, instructing these children hit or miss. When reading is approached systematically, there should be objectives of skills under each of these foundations. And we, at our school, and maybe some of your schools have done this as well, constructed a scope and sequence of reading skills for each grade level. And this is one of the sheets from the scope and sequence. It's the structural analysis sheet, the foundation there with skills. If you want to take a glance at the other foundations, you're welcome to do that at the Rockridge table. The rest of them are there. Copy of this is in your packet, too. Administrators, please equip your teachers with a scope and sequence of skills. Otherwise, they will be in the dark and not teaching systematically. If your program is using a particular publisher, I challenge you to take a look at this, at your series, and find out what skills you're missing. Some publishers are doing a fine job in this area. The ones here are the vendors here at the conference. But are you going to rely on a publisher who does not know classical Christian education to tell you how to teach reading? I hope not. We are teaching this generation to love words, to love God's words, and to read with their minds. So our instruction should be different from our cultures. After the child has mastered the recognition, letter recognition, and phonics in grades kindergarten and first grade, then the remaining 8 foundations should be instructed. Practically speaking, you can't spend all day checking off lists. I did this foundation. I taught that skill. You don't have time for that. You don't. But this scope and sequence gives you a sense of structure to your program, a sense of order. Now, you as a teacher should know, if you're a fifth grade teacher, you should know what skills you should be instructing. Have those in the back of your mind. And then look for ways to integrate them in your program, not just in reading, but in other subject areas as well. In your packet on the screen, you're going to find an example of a reading lesson that integrates many of the foundations. This is a grade 3 lesson plan for Chapter 2, The Great Brain. And the plan is written according to the 7 laws of teaching. So let's take a look at the integration of the foundations. In the review section near the top of the page, you will find a series of questions. Who's the main character in this book? Well, that's the comprehension foundation. And here are some other questions. In what person is the book written? How many chapters are in this book? In what state does the book take place? Now, which foundation would these questions be under? They're definitely comprehension. That's great. But they're also study skills, too. Let's take a look at the introduction, which is right next to the review section. There's a question, what did Pa order from Sears and Roebuck? Well, that's comprehension. And then another question, what is an invention? What foundation could that be under? Under comprehension, and there's another thing. Vocabulary, excellent. That's great. Then in the lesson section in the middle of your page, you will see that the children are reviewing vocabulary. That's a vocabulary foundation. Then they're writing words in alphabetical order. That's a study skills. And then the children will do Shirley answer flow, question answer flow, and then circle the vocab word in each sentence. So we have parts of speech foundation, and we have vocabulary foundation. And last in that lesson section, children will read chapter 2 aloud. There's your oral reading foundation. At the bottom, the assessment, there's a series again of comprehension questions. And at the very last section, review, rethink, re-know, reproduce, there are more questions. John gets back at his brothers. What does the Bible say about revenge? Do you know where it says that? So again, there's comprehension foundation, and the child is asked to apply God's word, and we're going to talk about that in a little bit. But as you can see, the foundations within this lesson are integrated. And I challenge you to take a look at your lessons. Are you integrating those foundations in your lessons? Let's quickly review. The teaching of reading is systematic and orderly. It's based on the 10 foundations. And each of these foundations has skills for each grade level that should be integrated throughout your lessons. Now, if you have knowledge of the foundations, you know what skills you're going to teach for your grade level, how do you actually begin the teaching of reading? Well, you begin with the two first foundations, letter recognition and phonics, in kindergarten. And when I've entered schools, many schools, even government schools, and ask the question, do you teach phonics? They all answer yes. Now, how can that be when we have children not reading well, children that don't even begin to read in kindergarten? Well, the teaching of phonics is absolutely essential, but will only be successful if it is instructed systematically. And not all publishers will approach phonics instruction systematically. And it's not clear to students. They get confused with the myriad of methods and ideas that they see. And the skills are instructed without a sense of order. So look carefully at your materials and ask yourself these questions. Does the sequence of these phonics skills make sense? And are they being reinforced every day? And will a kindergartner today apply the skills that he learned 3 weeks ago? He must, or the system that's being used is without order. And what methodology have the students learned to, are being instructed in these skills? And what method are they using to learn how to attack words? Is this method being reinforced every day? Many publishers are not doing that. I recommend the Orton-Gillingham method. It's very easy. You don't have to take a course in it or anything. It's a multi-sensory approach. And if students have mastered consonants, if they've mastered short vowels, they're ready to read short vowel words. For example, if they're given the word met to read, you ask them, what is the first sound in met? Mm. Ask them again, what is the next sound you hear in the word met? Eh. Blend them together. Met. What is the final sound that you hear in the word met? T. Blend it together. Met. Now repeat, 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 reinforce, reinforce, reinforce with this method, and your students will think this way every time they approach a word, a new word. Repetition is a big part of the grammar methodology. Now, many programs will have your students reading quickly. They might even utilize this Orton-Gillingham method. But lack in giving your students the opportunity to immediately apply the newly learned skills, which results in poor understanding. Here's an example of what I mean. A student who's mastered the short vowel, E, as well as consonants, can immediately apply these skills to form the words red, met, and hen. The mistake, though, that many programs make is to neglect the application of the skills just mentioned. The publishers may have the children reading orally quickly, but they don't have the children apply their knowledge in written form, such as dictation. This is vital and often ignored in programs. A child who can blend consonants and short vowels to form the word red, hen, and met is ready to write these words, having them dictated to him. They are even ready to write a sentence with these words, the red hen met Ben, with proper capitalization and punctuation. They can do this. They can do this quickly. Having the child write the words and the sentences is really proof that he understands what you have taught him. All of your kindergartners can be reading and writing words and sentences in the fall. They really can do this. Phonics instructed systematically with immediate oral and especially written practice will yield solid results. Mr. Gregory in the Seven Laws of Teaching has written, the student must reproduce the truth. Reproduce in his own mind the truth to be learned. And this is exactly what dictation does. Now, the initial instruction can be done whole group. Believe it or not, you can teach your kindergartners and the rest of the grades whole group with this system. That's not to say that you can't, as a teacher or your assistant or parent volunteers, they must sit down with your students individually and listen to them read. Listen to see if they're reading accurately. And you will see this going on in the video that's going to be shown. The first portion of the video, you will see a kindergarten class practicing dictation, and then you will see a student reading to his teacher.
Boys and girls, we're getting ready for our dictation today. We are going to be practicing some things that we have learned the last few weeks in phonics that we will find in our dictation.
You may laugh. They're very scared of the camera.
Can anyone find the sound and tell me how it's spelled? The sound or. Okay. Skylar.
O-R.
Like or in orbit. Good. What about the sound that says Natalie?
CH.
CH says very good. We are also going to be looking for some consonant blends. And who can tell me what we always start a sentence with? Christian.
Uppercase letter.
And what always comes at the end of a sentence? Taylor.
A period.
Or
a question mark or an exclamation mark.
Very good. We have to have an end mark. Very good. Get ready for dictation. You listen first to the sentence and repeat it after me. First you listen. Bill and Fran will have a snack on the porch. Now say it with me.
Bill and Fran will have a snack on the porch.
Now let's begin. Pick up your pencil. The first word is Bill. Now let's catch up to where we were before. Bill and Fran will have finger space, a finger space. The next word is snack. Next, Bill and Fran will have a snack.
Ben, are you ready for some rich reading?
Great. We're going to do consonant blend words today. So we'll start right here, and I'll get ready this time. Okay. Ready? Begin.
What?
Good job. Very nice.
I forgot to tell you they were scared to death. They looked like it. Let's quickly review kindergarten instruction.
Let's begin.
Letters and sounds are introduced. They can
class
be introduced through song. Students blend consonants and vowels to form words. The students read these words and sentences and short stories corresponding with the phonics instruction, and then they write the words and sentences from dictation with proper capitalization and punctuation. Now, if you would like to see the sequence of what phonics skills you begin with and what you end with during the course of the year, just walk to the Rockbridge table and ask them to show you the grade one curriculum guide, and you can glance at that and get an idea of how that can work. Now, when these children leave kindergarten, all of them need to have mastered all of the phonics instruction. That is, in kindergarten, before they move on. Now, they can master these skills. They really can do it if they are presented systematically with written and immediate application. Now, in grade one, the phonics instruction continues during the first 4 months of the year, and but during this time, the phonics generalizations are being emphasized with them. Phonics cards like this one are in our classrooms in grades 1 through 3. This is the long E card with all of the spelling combinations for this sound. The students memorize these cards. They don't necessarily understand why the spellings are placed on the card as they are. This will happen later on in second grade. Now, their spelling words reflect the phonics sound that they're working on for the week and the spellings of those. And all of this integration and systematic repetition yields reinforcement. The students continue to read short stories that correspond with their phonics instruction until their entire phonics training is complete, sometime around Christmas. And after that time, then they begin to read their literature books, Caps for Sale, Blueberries for Sale, as well as continue to review some of the phonics, all of the phonics that they've had previously. Now, during the following video, you're going to see children chanting their phonics cards and participating in dictation. But notice that the children now will ask the teacher which spelling they should use as they write their words. They're aware of the different spellings, but in grade two, again, they will learn which would be the initial, the medial, and final spellings for their words.
Class sound.
A.
Class spelling.
A mark, A monkey, A island, monkey, Y.
Class sound.
E.
Class spelling.
E mark, E monkey, E A, like Y, like I, E, like.
Very good. Class sound.
I.
Class spelling.
I mark, I monkey, like I, G, H, like Y, like I, E.
Class sound.
O.
Class spelling.
O mark, O monkey, O at night, like O, W, like Cody.
Class sound.
U.
Class spelling.
U mark, U monkey, monkey, W, monkey, E.
Good job. Thank you. Okay, boys and girls, we are going to have dictation now. Please remember to listen carefully. You're listening for the first sound, second sound, and the last sound, asking the questions that you need to ask in order to find the correct spelling. Number one, the word is crate. Crate. He packed the crate carefully. Crate. C. The spelling for crate is A blank E. A blank E. Maddie.
The crate is it C?
The spelling, the sound of in crate is C. Number two is sleep. Sleep. The children will sleep well tomorrow night. Sleep. Adam.
The C is it. E mark E. E is a T E A blank Y blank I E blank.
It is E E. The spelling in sleep is E E.
Okay, boys and girls, turn to the title page of the book, please. And that is from the view of V. That's your
lesson. Huntman by Donald Hunt. Pictures by Barbara King.
Let's turn to the first page of the story now. And now, if you would read that for us, please.
In October, he backed his ox into his court
and he and his family filled it up with everything they made of food all year long that was left over.
Very nice, Mom. Okay.
Now, children should read orally versus silently in these early grades because you want to check to see if they're reading accurately. Because they're beginners. This can be done informally as you're reading together as you just saw that take place, or formally using an oral reading assessment. And we tend to use those about 3 times a quarter to really take a check on how children are reading, and that's in your packet. Now, in grade 2, phonics skills are reviewed daily, but now the children are working to apply understanding and reasoning. The order of the spelling, remember, of those spellings on the cards was memorized in grade 1. But the goal in grade 2 is to have them understand why and when certain spellings are used. For example, if the child is given the word eternal to spell, he should recognize that the long E sound is in the beginning of the word, and therefore he will use the top spelling on the card. If he's given the word feet to spell, he would recognize the long E sound is in the medial position of the word, and therefore he will use a spelling that's in the middle of the card, in this case, EE. If he's given the word these to spell, he will hear the long E sound in the medial position, and use, again, a middle spelling on the card, E blank E. If he's given the word seat to spell, he will hear the long E sound in the middle, medial part of that word, and again, use a middle spelling. Now, if he hears, is given the word baby, and hears the long E sound at the end of the word, in the final position, he will use blank Y at the bottom of the card. And then, if the word is babies, he will hear the long E sound at the end, being plural, and it will be blank I-E-S. The second grade spelling list should correspond with the final phonics training, and dictation should continue as well. First part of the next video is an example of the children beginning to understand those phonics generalizations. And then the excerpt following it, you will see children answering comprehension questions and then proving their answers as correct. Now, I'm sure that in your room, or you will have in your rooms, a shelf full of literature books for your children to read. How do you know if these literature books are the correct reading level for your students? Well, I recommend that you do a readability test on them. This is just one example of a chart that you can use, Fry's readability. There are others you can get online. But I do recommend you're doing that. But remember that our culture's standards are different from our standards. So you might have a parent come to you and tell you that your second graders are reading a book. How can you possibly give them a 4.1 book in at the end of second grade? You're just challenging them too much. Well, not necessarily. We have other standards, and that could be a very appropriate book for your second graders or your third graders. Now, how many of those books should you read a year? Should you read 10? Some schools do that. 8? 6? Well, let me ask you a question. How many literature books will it take for you to read in order to teach the skills and the foundations for that school year for your students? If it takes 8, teach 8. If it takes 6, then teach 6. Well, how can you plan to read 6 novels, teach all those skills, and make sure that you get all of that in by the end of the school year? Well, first, you need to establish a long-range plan before you even begin your school year. And this plan is included in your packet, but it is the page after what you will see, the novel planning sheet. It's called Long-Range Plans for Reading. On it, you will see novels listed for each week. This is for the first quarter. There are 9 weeks there. You will see the literature books. You will see that this teacher is also instructing in the fourth grade forms of literature. And then there should be the same plan using the same model for the remaining quarters of that school year. And you're set. It's a guideline there. Well, how can you plan to read 6 novels, teach all those skills, and make sure that you get all of that in by the end of the school year? Well, first, you need to establish a long-range plan before you even begin your school year. And this plan is included in your packet, but it is the page after what you will see, the novel planning sheet. It's called Long-Range Plans for Reading. On it, you will see novels listed for each week. This is for the first quarter. There are 9 weeks there. You will see the literature books. You will see that this teacher is also instructing in the fourth grade forms of literature. And then there should be the same plan using the same model for the remaining quarters of that school year. And you're set. It's a guideline there for you to a map for you to use. Next, turn back to the page called Novel Planning. This plan will help you to pace your novels. It will also assist you in planning your weekly lessons and your daily lessons. How many chapters should I read a week? How many chapters should I read a day? This will help you do that. I've given you a model using 3 weeks to complete a literature book, but obviously some books will require more time to read and others less. But this is a general guideline, and I will leave it to you to read that in detail to be able to plan out your weekly and daily plans. But once you have this pacing plan, then the next step, and this is great for you this summer to do, especially if this is your first year, pick up every one of those literature books and read them. Read them all. Get your pen, get your pencil, get colored pencils, colored pens, and mark up your book, keeping in mind the 10 foundations we discussed earlier. Mark your book with vocabulary words. Mark them with synonyms. If parts of speech, perhaps your grade is learning about prepositions this year, well, you will mark up some examples of prepositional phrases. You can mark up study skills, Latin derivatives, and on and on. Note opportunities to discuss godly and ungodly character traits in one of the main characters that you're reading. The worldview of the author, or the worldview of one of the characters. Bible passages you could use, verses. Remember, we're training these students to read with their minds. We're training them to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Everything they read should be evaluated according to God's Word. That's what we're all about. After you have your foundation skills identified in your novel, then plan your first lesson, your introductory lesson to a new book. Have the students identify the author, the illustrator, dedication page, table of contents, and if you're teaching older students, have them study the table of contents for its structure, because they're going to need this. They're going to need to understand this. It will help them during those dialectic years when they're writing, when they're reading a more difficult book. Also, take the vocabulary words that you've marked in your book and group them according to weeks. This is week 1's vocabulary. This is week 2. You'll have those handy for the whole year. And then group other common foundational skills. Plan comprehension questions that you're going to ask during your class reading. You can write these in your teacher's edition, but it's most important that you write them in your lesson plans, because they'll be there for you next year. You won't be reinventing the wheel year after year. Or if you leave, you can leave those behind and the program continues and continues to get better year by year. What types of questions should you ask these students? Well, there are basically three types for grammar readers: literal, inferential, and application questions. If you want to learn more in detail about this type of questioning or question words or objective words, look up in Bloom's taxonomy and you will gain a lot of information. You can get that online. Now, literal questions require the student to recall an exact detail in their reading. So if the children are asked the question, where did Mrs. Thatcher go after teaching school that day? They can find that answer in their book. They know, they can find it. It's page 83, it's paragraph 2, here it is. And you just saw that take place on the video with grade 2 students. These types of questions are very, very appropriate for grammar students. This is a grammar level question, literal. What's our culture doing today? They are emphasizing, let's teach these students, these grammar students, higher level thinking. Let's give them higher level thinking questions. Well, no, their frame is not built for higher level yet. They're still in the grammar stage. Second type of questioning, inferential questions. These do require higher level thinking. And you can use these questions from time to time with your grammar students, and especially with your older students. For example, if the students are given the question, what are measles and mumps? They might not find that exact detail in the literature book, but they might find a detail on page 81 and then another detail on page 79, and they pull both of those details together to be able to answer what measles and mumps are. Application questions, the third type, require judgment and are more open-ended and give you the opportunity to discuss God's Word. You may be asking questions such as, do you think the main character acted in accordance to God's Word? And do you think the author believes in God? What is God like, according to the author or this main character? Is he personal, impersonal, finite, infinite? Remember, you're teaching them to read with their minds. Now, when should you ask these questions? Well, you should be asking these questions throughout your reading time together. If you have the younger students, kindergarten through third grade, they're reading aloud, stop periodically and ask these questions. Not only just to assess whether they're reading accurately, but also to assess their understanding. Third grade students should transition into silent reading, more of that, towards the end of the school year to prepare them for grade 4. Now, I challenge you to, when you're asking your comprehension questions, to not just hear from one student answering it. You want to know, do all my students understand that answer? Do they know how to answer that question? And what you should do is ask a question and students will raise their hands. You will call on a student, and many times, and we don't even realize it, we call on the same student, and we know that student will answer the question correctly, or he is sitting right smack in the middle of the room at where your eyes are easily cast, and you'll call on that student. Well, I challenge you to have one student answer the question and then ask the entire class to prove or disprove his answer as correct or incorrect. They must be flipping through the book. You want to see them all doing that and able to put their fingers on the answer. You will be able to easily find out who is struggling, who never found that answer, and also who's just being lazy. And we're about training character. Reading gives you an opportunity for that. Have students also demonstrate their understanding of their reading by answering comprehension questions in written form. This exercise gives you the opportunity to assess their writing skills as well as their understanding. Students should be answering these comprehension questions in complete sentences with correct capitalization, punctuation, and spelling. They can use their book. They should be using their book to get answers. You want them to be practicing where to find details, to be a detailed type of student, their grammar. You want to prepare them to be practicing skimming and scanning in their text to find an answer. So please have them use their books and require them, hold them accountable to this proper spelling, capitalization, punctuation, parts of speech, things that you have taught them that they can easily find in the text. An answer a question in a complete sentence can begin in grade one. Now for your older students who are answering higher level questions, incorporate many of the skills that you're instructing them. For example, if you are teaching them about compound sentences or complex sentences, then have them answer their questions using a compound sentence as an answer or a complex sentence. But most of all, have your students write in all grades. Write, write, write. Grading comprehension questions, I know, it takes a lot of time. You'll look at that stack, you'll want to put it off. Oh, I'll have to carve out a lot of time to do this, but it's worth it. Don't settle for something easy for you to grade. Fill in the blanks are fine for at times for your first graders in the early part of the year, but they're not something that you should be using regularly with these children. Remember, we're training them to be able to stand before kings someday. Some examples of comprehension questions and writing activities for many of the grade levels are included in your packet to view later on. Now, throughout your grammar grades, children should be reading a variety of literature. When they've completed grades 1 through 6, they should have read biographies, ballads, fables, myths, legends, mysteries. Many of these types of literature integrate really well with history. There are great historical novels out there. James Sire also wrote, "If we learn to read nonfiction, poetry, and fiction well, we are automatically equipped to read the Bible very well." We're teaching them to read with their minds. When students enter grade 6, they are budding dialectics. They are wanting to steer ahead of those grammar kind of questions, the detail and inferential types of questions. They want to discuss answers and banter with one another. So allow them the freedom to do this, but with great wisdom and great guidance from you, because they don't know logic. They haven't been instructed how to debate. So study your literature and plan your questions with their frame in mind. The following video excerpt begins with this type of questioning for a sixth grader.
Good day, students. We're going to continue our conversations about Watership Down. We've been talking about whether or not Watership Down is an allegory. And you have really been thinking. Some of the comments I've heard are very sophisticated. Just to recap and talk about the proposition, is Watership Down allegorically offers comment on human society? Wow, that's asking a lot of a rabbit tail, perhaps, but perhaps not. If you say no, that it's simply an animal fantasy, then you need to defend that somehow by talking about what allegory is and what allegory is not. If you say yes to the proposition, then you have to demonstrate that Watership Down contains symbols, symbolic characters, symbolic events, and that's what allegory is all about. The third response, which some of you have already gotten into in most sophisticated fashion, and I'm very, very pleased, the yes-no possibility that Watership Down, in fact, maybe all literature, can be read at different levels. And that meaning can be read, symbolic meaning can be read into most anything we look at. So, let's continue our conversation. Tyler.
I think that, yes, it does contain symbolic characters because it shows an obvious hierarchy of the Chief Rabbit, Glover, Megan, Sierra. There's an obvious hierarchy of Chief Rabbit, then the outlaw under him, which is kind of like the government.
Okay.
The police, and then under them, the normal people.
Good point. Is there a hierarchy in our society?
Remember your duty as the sixth grade teacher to prepare these students to enter the dialectic, so give them a taste of the dialectic. Give them a lot of opportunities to write, and give them many opportunities to present what they write in front of their classmates. Now, this shouldn't be the first time in sixth grade that they have done this. This should be going on from kindergarten on up through those grammar grades. We need to be instructing the grammar of oral presentation. You can have kindergartners stand in front of their class and recite their memory verse each week. If you would like to take a look, and again, you can ask the folks at the Rockbridge table to show you the oral presentation guide. You can flip through and find out what skills might be helpful for you to teach at your particular grade level. But don't wait. Don't think that the dialectic and rhetoric teachers are going to teach these children how to stand and look people in the eye and speak clearly and use manners and gestures. We need to be teaching that. They're working on persuasion and style during those years. Train sixth grade students to take notes, to outline, to use multiple sources. This will be valuable for them as they enter the next grade. And then teach them to read with a pencil, pen in their hands, so that they are underlining terms and important information. This will come in handy as well as they are attempting in that dialectic years to identify a thesis statement or the structure of an argument. So train them in sixth grade. And then train them to underline major organizational words such as first, second, and third. Now, you may not find all the time the words first, second, and third in their readings, but they should be beginning to think that way as they read and marking in the margin of their readings first, second, third to help them organize. Now, you might teach reading systematically. You might know all of those foundations. You might plan great novels. You might plan wonderful comprehension questions and be a good teacher. But that's not what we're about. But unless you love what you read in front of your students, unless you train them to apply God's word as they read, they will not become readers who will love God with their minds. As you prepare to enter into a new school year, be committed to teaching the mastery, be committed to teaching systematically, be committed to learning and teaching the foundation skills of reading and integrating them in your lessons. But most important, be committed to teaching your students to love God with their minds. Think about the vision of our culture. Mantras of, I stand tall, I have pride in myself, I will achieve, I will read. Can you believe that? And then remember our vision, that we're teaching this generation to become wise, able to discern various worldviews, recognize false philosophies, and become godly leaders who will instruct future generations. This is why we're teaching students to read with their minds, to love words, and love God's word. Thank you. If you have any questions, I'd be glad to help you. Thank you.